Bhagavad Lila, 10th canto, chapter 61. Lord Balaram slays Rukmi, the elder brother of Queen Rukmini. Chapter 61 describes the sons and grandsons of Krishna and Balaram's killing of Rukmi during a dice game at the marriage of Aniruddha. Sri Krishna had 16,108 wives, and from each wife he begot 10 sons and one daughter. So Krishna had 161,080 sons. These sons were not less than Krishna in terms of their personal powers and qualities. Pitu Sarvatma Sampada. Each of the queens of Dwarka saw that Lord Achyuta never left her palace. So she thought herself the Lord's favorite. These women did not understand the full truth about Krishna. Krishna would leave the palaces of his queens only with the permission of his queens, and thus each one considered herself his favorite. By Krishna's inconceivable yogamaya potency, the queens did not know the full truth about how Krishna creates the good fortune of all his beloved devotees. Sri Krishna's wives were fully enchanted by Krishna's lovely lotus-like face, his long arms and large eyes, his loving glances imbued with laughter, and his charming talks with them. But with all their charms, these ladies could not conquer the mind of the all-powerful Lord. Krishna's wives, who were controlled just by Krishna's spectacular beauty, had two types of conjugal affection. One group of queens had a conjugal affection called prema maya, full of love, and another group had a type of affection, conjugal affection called kamamaya, full of lust. Verses 3 and 4 describe how the queens could not bring Krishna under their control with their kamamaya affection. The queens themselves were totally enchanted by Krishna's face, which was as charming as the whorl of a lotus flower. Krishna's long arms, elongated eyes, loving smile, and his charming conversations. But not even one of the queens with all her seductive beauty could conquer Krishna's mind, because this is Krishna's very nature, that Krishna is the most perfectly desirable object. The arched eyebrows of these 16,000 queens enchantingly express those ladies' secret intentions through coyly smiling, sidelong glances. Thus their eyebrows boldly sent forth conjugal messages. Yet even with these arrows of Cupid, and with other means as well, they could not agitate Sri Krishna's senses. Verse 4, Smayavaloka Lavadarshita Bhavahari describes the lusty allurements of the queens of Dwarka. Nevertheless, even 16,000 wives could not agitate Krishna's senses with the cupid arrows of their eyes. What type of arrows were they? They were arrows of sweet smiles showing their conjugal intentions through sidelong glances and lusty messages sent by the movements of their attractive eyebrows. The queens boldly expressed their desires to Krishna by these and other ways described in the Kama Sutra. Thus these women of Dwarka obtained as their husband the master of the goddess of fortune, although even great demigods like Brahma do not know how to approach Krishna. With ever-increasing pleasure, the queens felt loving attraction for Krishna, and they exchanged smiling glances with Krishna, eagerly anticipated associating with him in ever fresh intimacy and enjoyed in many other ways. Verse 5 describes the intense conjugal attraction the queens felt for Krishna. By showing their smiling glances full of premamaya affection, anurag, they enjoyed many ever new intimate physical exchanges, navasangama, with Krishna, which were filled with great hankering because they could not be completely satisfied. Thus it should be understood that Krishna is controlled by the premamaya, pure loving dealings of his wives, as seen in his pastime of stealing the parijat tree, and also in his own words, tataham api tachchito nidram channa labe nishi. I cannot sleep at night because of thinking of Rukmini. Being enchanted by his wives' shy, loving glances, Krishna found it difficult to leave their palaces. Living amongst the jewel among women, Krishna played like an ordinary person. Although Krishna's queens each had hundreds of maidservants, they chose to personally serve Krishna by approaching him humbly, offering him an asan, worshipping Krishna with excellent paraphernalia, bathing and massaging his lotus feet, offering him pan to chew, fanning him, anointing Krishna with fragrant sandalwood paste, adorning Krishna with flower garlands, dressing Krishna's hair, arranging Krishna's bed, bathing Krishna, and presenting Krishna with various gifts. Thus the queens engaged in menial service of the Lord to express their love, having Krishna as the object of their prema. They offered Krishna the best of items, such as handfuls of flowers and handfuls of jewels, Pushpanjali and Ratnanjali. Among Krishna's wives, each of whom had 10 sons, I previously mentioned 8 principal queens. I shall now recite for you the names of those 8 queens headed by Pradyumna. The first son of Queen Rukmini was Pradyumna, and she also had sons named Charudeshna, Sudeshna, Charudeha, Sucharu, Charugupta, Bhadracharu, Charuchandra, Vicharu, Charu. None of these sons of Lord Hari was less than his father. Pradyumna had a greatly powerful son named Aniruddha by his wife Rukmavati, the daughter of Rukmi. At her Swayamvara, Rukmavati personally chose Pradyumna, who had then single-handedly defeated the assembled kings. Although her brother Rukmi very well remembered his enmity toward Lord Krishna, the father of Pradyumna, nevertheless he sanctioned the marriage of his sisters so that he could please his elder sister Rukmini. Besides 10 sons, each queen had 1 daughter. The daughter of Rukmini was named Charumati. She married Bali, the son of Kritavarma. Despite Rukmi's enmity toward Lord Krishna, he offered his granddaughter Rochana to Aniruddha, his daughter's son, just to please his sister Rukmini. Krishna and Balaram, along with Rukmini, Pradyumna, Samba, and others, went to join the celebrations at Bhojakata. After the wedding was peacefully performed, the king of Kalinga gave his friend Rukmini this ill advice. "You should play dice with Balaram, for you will easily defeat him. Balaram is not very expert at playing, but still he is addicted to the game." Being so encouraged, Rukmi challenged Balaram to gamble at dice in hopes of gaining revenge against Krishna's family, and so the match began. 100 gold coins were wagered first, then 1,000 and 10,000, and every time Rukmi won and Balaram lost. The king of Kalinga took the opportunity to joke about Krishna and Balaram, and he laughed loudly while showing his teeth. This greatly agitated Balaram. When Rukmi once again challenged him in gambling at dice, Balaram bet 100,000 gold coins. However, this time Balaram won. But Rukmi tried to cheat by claiming, "I am the winner." Balaram became infuriated, and his naturally reddish eyes became even redder. And a sudden rage appeared like a tidal wave. And then Balaram wagered 100 million gold coins. And again Balaram won. But again Rukmi resorted to cheating by declaring, "I have won. Ask my friends. They are the witnesses." Just then, however, a voice from the sky declared, "Balaram has fairly won the wager. Rukmi is lying." However, being urged on by his wicked friends, Rukmi ignored the divine voice. Being goaded by his destiny as well, Rukmi ridiculed Balaram by saying, "You cowards! Wander about in the forest, know nothing about dice. Playing with dice and sporting with arrows is for kings, not the likes of you." That was it. When Balaram heard this and everyone laughing at him, he became furious. And even in the midst of the wedding assembly, he grabbed his club and struck Rukmi on the head, dead. The king of Kalinga, who previously laughed and showed his fat teeth at Balaram's expense, he fearfully tried to flee. But he took 10 steps, and then Balaram seized him and knocked out all his teeth with his club. The other kings who criticized Balaram also tried to run away, and Balaram smashed their heads, arms, and legs with his club, so their bodies became drenched with blood. They were all too afraid to retaliate, but just left the scene as fast as they could. Even as his brother-in-law Rukmi was killed by Balaram, Lord Krishna simply remained silent, without a word of praise or objection, for he did not want to jeopardize his relationship with either Balaram or Rukmini. Aniruddha and his bride were then seated on a fine chariot, and under Krishna's protection, they departed for Dwarka.